Welcome to Fitzdog Radio. Tonight I'm joined by Nick Kroll, who's lovely and well-educated.
You say that with...
with authority, because we went to the same high school.
We did.
And, and Mike,
which
actually,
Rye
Country Day School.
Tough streets of.
And Mike grew up in Westchester.
You did?
I went to Hackley.
Did
you?
To Hackley?
Hackley we used to lose to. We used to lose to Hackley.
In what, lacrosse?
After ninth grade.
I think so. I played soccer. We generally lost to Hackley. And you left it for ninth grade?
I went to boarding school after that. I hated Hackley, yeah.
He got kicked out.
Where'd you go to boarding school?
Western Massachusetts, called Berkshire.
Oh, of course. All my friends who were too fucked up at Rye went to Berkshire.
Yep. Yeah, Berkshire, you could get in there even if you got thrown out of other schools.
I guess it's harder now. Yeah, you could. A lot of, one of my roommates was from Choate. He had gotten kicked out for drugs, cocaine.
That's the thing about people think they can send their kids to good schools. And I grew up in Tarrytown that had a lot of drugs, and my parents thought they'd keep me out of it by sending me to a private school.
It was just better drugs.
Much more drugs.
Yeah.
So you were at Tarrytown but didn't go to Hackley, which is closer.
My brother was going to Hackley, and we didn't really get along.
Okay.
So I chose to go 25 minutes away every day for 4 years.
Does your audience know that they're like have stumbled into three private school kids talking?
I think this is a new angle. You know, everybody in comedy always tries to act like they're from the hood and they had a rough childhood. Well, we may have had rough childhoods in the sense that we had bad parents, but socioeconomically, this is not the usual entertainment demographic.
Well, then most people were going to Choate, but I decided to stay because of squash.
I got kicked out of boarding school. Does that count? I got kicked out of that in the second
one. Where did you go? Did you go to public high school after that? Did you go to a different boarding school?
I was like president of student body, so they gave me a good deal. I just had to like stay in touch with my English professor. I got kicked out in March of senior year.
What'd you do?
I got drunk and I destroyed the alumni bathroom.
Wow.
Mm. Not just any bathroom.
Act out.
Yeah.
It was a big act out. I emptied a lot of fire extinguishers also.
Well, let's talk about the hard streets of private school. I started the golf team at Rye Country
Did
Day
you
School.
Really?
There was no golf team. And I decided that I knew a few guys that were good players.
Sure.
Because they all belonged to country
clubs. Of course they did. Of course, because what other area do like 14-year-old boys besides a private Westchester high school be like, I love golf. It's crazy that we don't have this.
No, we had kids trying out, and the fucking I was the number six player, and I was a 9 handicap.
Right.
I mean, the best players were scratch, one, two. One guy went pro. The other guy covers golf for Sports Illustrated
really?
To this day. Yeah. And we won the league. We were undefeated the first year.
And they were like, why is this fucking caddy setting up fucking teams? My brother played golf at Rye Country Day, so thank you, first of all, for setting that up for him.
Wow.
And then my buddy I just went away with, my buddy Gary, played golf at Rye and then went to Yale and played golf, was like a real fucking golfer. And he set up a thing called the golf club at school where we would just get together in the science room
school?
Every week at Rye Country Day.
Yeah.
And we would just watch Caddyshack every week.
That's great.
That was it.
That's great.
That's hilarious.
That was the extent of
Another
golf
tough
club.
Story.
Well,
know,
we used to go, this guy, we got this guy who was an alumni to coach. This is so great. There was no team. So they said, you have to find an alumni who's got a connection to a golf course. Mm-hmm. We have a place to play. So I stroll up the street to Westchester Country Club, one of the best clubs in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I find this guy who was literally like L.L. Bean, duck shoes, and the pink sweater.
Yeah.
And he would come down in his Cadillac, and half of us didn't have cars, and he would drive us up to the country club. But first we'd stop at McDonald's and we get food.
This guy hated his wife.
I think he was gay.
Okay.
And there was I had a bottle of rum.
His wife.
I had a bottle of rum that I kept in my bag, and we would just pour cocktails and play 9 holes of golf on the best club in the fucking country. Yeah. That was and then we went and won the league undefeated.
Jesus Christ. So I went to a Jewish day school before Rye Country Day.
Wow, you just upped the ante a little bit.
yeah, I'm bringing the heat.
You just threw Jew into this.
By the way, so no Westchester Country Club for this one.
Yeah.
And no Choate.
Oh, that's right.
Until Daddy had enough cash. But no, Choate was probably at that
point. No, but you're just to pause for 1 second.
Yeah.
That's no joke. There were no Jews at most of the major country clubs in Westchester County.
We belonged to Shenrock, which was a beach club, very beautiful club, but it was like the one club that allowed Jews in Rye.
Wow.
It was crazy. It was full on.
And this is a town that's got six big clubs.
You grew up
clubs.
Right near there. I got married in a Jewish club right on Mamaroneck Point, right? My wife's from Rye.
Oh, okay.
They went to Fieldston, though.
Sure.
Another real hard
Jesus,
streets.
We're really...
Hey, you know what?
Fieldston is...
We got to stick together because there are so many poor people out there. And we're going to just mix in with them.
I know.
They can't. They need to. They shouldn't know. And maybe. Well, you know what? I'm hoping that you have a very well-to-do audience.
I'm going to start charging for the podcast because if they hear this, it's going to be chaos. They're going to start expecting me to talk about like rap.
No. Don't let it happen.
No.
Don't let it happen. So
just keep talking about the disappointing election results in November.
That's
and
right.
All that stuff.
Yeah. Bury the lead.
Wow. Wow.
No, that's made up.
All right, so Jew.
Okay.
You went to the Jewish...
So I went to a Jewish day school. All right, let's get into
it. You were in character, weren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah. So I went to a Jewish day school till eighth grade, Solomon Schechter, and we put for my first couple of years, like, we had a basketball team, and we used to play...
Must have been awesome.
We used to play in a Jewish league. We'd play, like, other synagogues. We play other synagogues.
Not that funny.
Not other synagogues. But like,
did ESPN do a bottom 10 every night?
Little extreme.
So, in eighth grade, not senior year, but it was like we were the kings of the castle, and we got a new athletic director, this guy, Mr. Rose, and he was like a little man, but he was like, I'm going to take this Jewish day school and bring it into the 20th century athletically, and we're going to play in a public school league. So we played that year in a public school league of schools of a similar size, like 50 to 100 kids a grade. And I was the point guard. Our power forward was Andrew Goldberg, who's still a good friend of mine, writes for Family Guy. He was 5'6". He was our muscle inside. And we played in a public school league against, like,
black kids.
Briarcliff. No, we were playing like
Briarcliff.
Rye Brook, yeah. Briarcliff, Bronxville. We were undefeated. We
Whoa.
Were amazing.
Wow.
And we played Bronxville, where a bunch of kids from Bronxville had went to Shenrock, the beach club I went to growing up, and after the game, they threw quarters at us, and parents watching, and we took those quarters and we bought Cokes with them.
You taught them?
Yeah. We taught them that their stereotype was correct, and we got sodas.
That's the greatest thing about being Jewish.
I know.
That's the slander. We like money.
Yeah.
I know. Sure. Throw it at us. We love it.
Yeah.
You really had us throw more.
Oh, no. Oh, that thing we love? That's just like black guys getting like Asian pussy thrown at them.
That's the thing. You know stereotypes are true. Like, let's say they threw, like, beers at us. We'd be like, oh, fuck you. We're betting that.
Fuck
them
you.
Picking them up. Fuck you. Fuck you. We're more than this, but I'll take
fuck
it.
Fuck you. Who do you want us to fight? Fine. Yeah, it was crazy.
Oh.
And then we played, but we did end up playing a school I don't remember what it was, maybe like Hartsdale, like a bigger town.
Yeah.
And we got fucking smoked.
We got
destroyed.
Yeah.
But for that year, that was the height of my athletic career. Eighth grade, like public school basketball league, Jewish day school, and we smoked everybody.
Yeah. See, I went to a school, like Tarrytown was big. We had big schools, mm-hmm. and it was a very diverse population. We had a GM plant, so there was a lot of black kids and Latino mm-hmm. kids. But it wasn't badass by any means.
Right.
So I was on the track team, and we had like half the kids were black because mm-hmm. they're fucking fast. And so we go down to Yonkers, to a public school in Yonkers.
Ooh, yeah.
And all of a sudden, I saw the guys that I was intimidated by, the big black guys I was intimidated by, all of a sudden were fucking like these Yonkers black guys are like prison. They're like prison mm-hmm. motherfuckers.
Just eating and Fuddruckers on Central Avenue.
Jamming Fuddruckers, Dairy Queen, left and I saw my black guys all of a sudden like pussies.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed everything back at school on Monday.
Really?
Oh yeah, I was intimidated by my fucking house blacks. Forget it.
You just see Django?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you wouldn't shy
it's
away
all,
from the N-word.
Right.
Oh, yeah?
It's all about the Westchester track and field scene.
It's set in Wyoming.
It's
it's a weird thing. It works.
It works. I don't know. It works.
Here's
you know?
How much. Here was the. Yeah. Here's what the big. One of the big times I got in trouble in high school, compared to maybe if you grew up and you were doing crack in Harlem. Mm-hmm. I got in trouble because I snuck out of school one day. My dad is sitting at the. We went to the Westchester Classic. Mm-hmm. Me and my friends. We got drunk and watched golf.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at the dinner table the next night, and my dad opens up the New York Times. And he holds up the front page of the sports section. And he goes, first he goes, how was school yesterday? I said, it was good. Meanwhile, I got a sunburn. Mm-hmm. And he's like, really? And he pulls out the front page of the sports section. And there's a picture of Gary Hallberg with a three wood and me behind him cheering.
Oh, amazing.
And he fucking showed me and it was silence. And then he burst out laughing and we fucking.
Really?
Yeah, it was great.
I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah.
See, we weren't getting, we used to drive around Westchester Country Club smoking pot. See, we weren't getting drunk.
Yeah.
Maybe that's, again, Irish Jewish, but like.
Could be.
I don't know, but that
smarter
was our game.
Choice, for sure.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I remember coming back to school one day, super stoned, and we used to get really stoned in like a, you know, Ford Explorer, drive around, windows closed, smoke a bowl, and then come back to school. And I came in and I like, and then we would like throw a piece of Juicy Fruit in. And there was like a young black teacher there. And I like came in to like be like, hey, what's, you know, like, blah, blah. And he was like, yo, we all know that you guys are smoking weed all the time. You think a piece of Juicy Fruit is going to change that?
Wow.
And I was like, I don't know. Privilege.
And, like, and you didn't get in trouble, right?
No. I mean, no. But, well, he was just trying to be a nice guy. You
yeah.
know? He was just trying to be like, FYI.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, no, I'm telling you, I got high. We started drinking in eighth grade. We mm-hmm. would drink before school. We would get high during the lunch break. And then I was in trouble a lot. So my father goes, well, all right, we're going to send you Rye Country Day School. Mm-hmm. I swear to God, these fucking kids had the best pot. We would go at lunchtime to different kids' houses. We'd take mm-hmm. turns going to different mansions.
Mm-hmm.
And this one kid, I shouldn't say the last name, but it started with Van. It mm-hmm. was a Van last name.
Sure.
And we went to his house, and the fucking blackest maid, like dark black, in a full maid outfit. We would come in, we would get baked in the kitchen. And then she, because the parents were, they belonged to three country clubs in Rye, this family.
Jesus.
They had about 10 acres of prime land
uh-huh.
in between Westchester Country Club and Apawamis.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get more expensive.
Nope.
ATVs. We would ride around the fucking estate on ATVs high, and then the black maid would cook us steak, and we would eat steak, and then drive back to school high. And I would go home and tell my friends in Tarrytown, who all lived fucking single parents
right,
and tenements,
right.
and I'd be like, yeah, and then at lunch, we rode ATVs high, and had steaks there. And it just, my world became, I couldn't combine the two worlds. I couldn't tell one about the other.
Immeasurable must be the level of that black woman's resentment. It has to be.
The well, motherfucking help.
Oh, cooking midday steaks.
For ATV riding.
Do you know what I mean? For like
hooking.
A couple shitheads. Like a bunch of shitheads and one kid trying to pass as a shithead. And she's cooking steaks and they are paying her yeah. they are paying her a living wage. No more.
No steak. She ain't steak.
She's flipping the steak, looking out the window, one of you, seeing if the pool cover can hold an ATV.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. I know. I mean, shit.
And we leave and she's just looking for a roach and some fucking steak scraps.
Or just like quietly embezzling hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I hope to God. I hope to God. Yeah. I mean, who knows?
Slowly poisoning the mom.
Oh, my God. I would imagine. I mean, they had staffs. These people, it wasn't one person. It was like a cook and a maid and a groundskeeper.
Now, I don't want to date you guys. So you guys are a few years older than me.
84, I graduated high school.
Okay. Cocaine. Was cocaine a high school thing for
yes,
you guys?
Yes, a lot of cocaine in definitely. High school.
See, like for me,
boarding,
by the time,
but at boarding school, not. I don't know how big it was at Hackley.
Was it
yeah,
at
they
Rye?
Had it at Rye. We did a lot of coke, but in Tarrytown, we did a lot of coke.
Really, it was just like 80s coke.
Yeah,
yeah.
See, like by the time I came around, there was pot smoking, a lot of pot smoking and drinking, and some pills, but like coke wasn't like on the reg. Like, I feel like 80s kids were doing blow.
Yeah. Yep. There was no stigma. You didn't see, like, there was no crack yet, so you didn't see the kind of, like, horrible addiction. Mm-hmm. It was more of, like, you know, it was a party. It was a nighttime, nightclub party thing.
And, sure.
And I remember, like, the kids at Rye, like, in Tarrytown, you'd go in on an eight ball, like, six guys. Mm-hmm. And then at Rye Country Day, it was, like, everybody had just packets and packets, and they'd have parties mm-hmm. where there would just be piles on tape. It was, like... It was
high school.
Well, the guy, one of the guys at my school owned, his dad owned the Limelight nightclub in the city.
Jesus. Yeah.
And the guy was busted on cocaine charges while him and his sister were at our school.
Wow.
And it was all over the papers. And it was, I mean, it was a huge tri-state area story.
Huge.
And yeah, Jesus. So they, I mean, I'm not saying, I have no idea if they did drugs or whatever, but I knew we had passes to the Limelight. We used to go any night.
Really?
And it was, yeah,
and
there was
dad
a lot.
Was okay with the kids go, I mean.
I don't want to overspeak it, but
sure.
But let's just say it was,
yeah.
You know.
Let's say, my guess is he's got bigger fish to fry than you right now.
I believe so. Yeah. But
is he still alive?
I don't know, but I mean, another parent, was the CEO of Lamborghini, and so the daughter, no, DeLorean, and
uh-huh.
the daughter drove
oh,
to school
that.
In a Back to the Future car that sure. the doors came up.
Sure.
There was a girl named Ashley Briggs who dated a guy named Randolph Van Cleet III.
That is crazy. We used to, like, by the time I was, like, prescription medication was big.
Like what? Like Vicodin?
Yeah. Or Ritalin. We used to crush up Ritalin and snort it.
No.
Oh, yeah. Adderall
See,
and Ritalin.
That's after us.
That's
I graduated
after us.
In 85. But what about acid and stuff?
No, there was acid. Mushrooms was
a lot
more.
Of acid in boarding school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because
yeah.
I'm assuming boarding school is like what's concealable and smell free.
Exactly. So there was never, ever, I never drank beer in high school. You couldn't, it was too big and heavy.
It was liquor.
You had
or
to sneak it on
Coke.
Campus. Yeah, exactly. It was vodka specifically.
Vodka.
You couldn't smell. It was God. Too tight. You had to get it. So what happened is we'd all be at dinner on Saturday, and you wouldn't eat a lot because you knew you only had like a fourth of a bottle. And so it's
so you had to make it count.
So you wouldn't eat a lot of dinner. Meanwhile, you just got back from like a game at whatever school and a fucking 2-hour bus ride. So you're just starving, and you're like, nope, nope, nope. Just total discipline. And then like no discipline you exhibited on the field an hour earlier. And so then you would get a soda can, you get a can, a Coke or whatever, and you drink it almost all the way down, and then you'd fill the rest with vodka.
Oh.
And that's how you and it was pop off fucking disgusting vodka.
Which, by the way, if you are a teacher at a prep school, you've got kids that not only are in their prime, mm-hmm. in terms of stopping substance abuse, they're in their prime of wanting to get fucked up,
mm-hmm.
having a lot of free time to get fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
They're from good families, so they got dough, and you they're going to get high on something.
Mm-hmm.
We had cool teachers like the one you described, and at graduation, and then we'd see them like at reunions or when we'd go back. And he's like, on Saturday nights, I'd get back from the game, like he was a coach, and he'd be like, I would just go in my dorm apartment and lock the door, terrified of just sticking my head out, because he would have busted all of us.
Yeah.
Like, he was terrified of just idiots.
Well, it's just like cops being like, you know what, I don't want to fill out the fucking forms tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, and it would also change our lives. You're kicked out, you're going home.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it was like really big and like it was tough.
And those schools, like you pay up front for the year and it's a ton of dough. And if your kid gets tossed out, you don't get the money back.
Ugh.
My second year in school, all of a sudden I heard of this thing. They started selling insurance policies.
Really?
A parent, like let's say it's like, you know, schools now are so expensive. Back then it was very expensive, but it was like well, let's say it was 15 grand, whatever it was. An insurance company caught on to how many kids were getting, especially in like the roaring 80s, so were getting kicked out of boarding schools because of cocaine and everything, and they sold insurance policies.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's smart. They're betting you're betting against your own child.
Yes.
Now those kids, like, do you guys? How often do you guys have kids? You have kids?
I have two kids.
How often? Hopefully not that often.
Right.
I have two now.
How often do you guys think about like the kind of person you were and the people you were surrounded by, and that your kids are going to enter into that life?
It's terrifying to me.
I don't think so, because they're so overshadowed. And first of all, they're being raised by better people. By far.
Mm-hmm.
And they are being watched much more so. And I think that my daughter is, she's pretty wild redhead. She's 9, she's a redhead, and she's going to be a lot of fucking work.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know when they would even get in trouble. Like, I know I have friends who have older kids, and I see, like, when are they even getting laid? These poor kids are being fucking watched every second.
Right, right.
But
you know?
Might that be the problem?
So when they get to college, they go fucking crazy.
Well, even that, but if I was watched like crazy by my, again, we're better parents than my parents, but if I was watched all the time, I mean, that's why I wanted to go to boarding school. I wanted to get the fuck out of my apartment right. where my, with our
I thought you were a latchkey kid.
Yeah, first grade, I had a let in, and then we'd warm up the, yeah, I was. It was weird. My dad had money. I had no money living with my mom. So I'm like, we're buying fucking secondhand clothes that I'm packing for Zermatt. It was the most fucked up existence.
Really?
Yeah.
Dad wasn't hooking mom up with any cash?
Mom put it all back and went back to get schooling with a vengeance. She hadn't even graduated college, and now she's a speech pathologist with 2 degrees. Like, it's so it's, you know.
Didn't get you a fucking sweet jacket, though, did it?
Nothing. I was so made
fun. Hey, Mom, can I stay warm with that syllabus?
Yeah,
it was crazy.
You weren't going to. What was the? Do you guys remember the ski store in fucking White Plains? It was like cool
Pagamount.
Hickory and Tweed.
Yeah,
there was one in Armonk. And Tweed.
Yeah, no, it was called like. It's gonna kill me. It doesn't. I mean, this is again.
I know
a
what you're
horribly
talking about.
Dated thing, but I think about because like I had good parents. Like I hope that I'm as good a parent as my parents
wow.
were. They were thoughtful. They were aware.
Oh, I met
they
your
were
parents.
They're nice, good people, and I still fucked off.
Yeah.
And was a liar. I was a liar.
Yeah.
And they were good people who, I was the fourth, they knew what to ask me. Like, my brother graduated in 89. They didn't know what to ask him when he was in high school. You know what I mean? Like, he and his buddies were doing...
Wait, and when did you graduate?
96.
Okay.
Like, terrible shit. They were doing, you know, like, his buddy was got kicked out of Rye, went to Rye High School, and got arrested with a, like, binder full of acid.
I thought you were going to say women.
Like trading cards.
A binder full of acid. That's a lot of acid.
A lot of acid.
Jesus.
And those were his, like, by the way, now selling, like, real estate in Arizona. But, like, a good, you know, and, like, so by the time it came to me, they knew what to ask. They knew how to ask it. And I was still staring them in the eyes and lying to them and going and doing... Yeah, juicy fruiting it up and just doing...
Do you think being the fourth kid had something to do with that? Like, maybe you just felt like... I don't know. They'd been worn down a little bit.
It worked both ways with my parents, where it was like I had more freedom because they were worn down and realized like, oh, they're not going to break upon impact.
Yeah.
But then also they knew what to ask me, and
they played smarter.
They were smarter with it.
Yeah.
So there was both more freedom and then also a lot. I was required to lie a lot more than my brother was. I had two sisters in the middle who were both very good.
Yeah.
Like, they were like well behaved, smart.
I bet they were happy about that.
Yeah. And then they had like a sandwich of
yeah, the boys.
The boys.
Boys.
The fucking, you know? Boys.
Boys are easy to raise. And then when they get older, they're the, like, you know, Gibbs has got two daughters. And man, I don't fucking envy you. Daughters are.
I'm still having a great.
They're difficult.
How
young.
Old are they?
They're 9 and 7. So, well, I mean, boys would come over in every age that they've gone through. And I'm like, these little fucking animals. Mm. And I was so lucky and still am to have daughters because boys are just fucking dicks.
Yeah, wait till they're like 14 or 15.
Oh, it's sooner than that. Apparently, I have till 11 at best. Already, there's a little tude coming, like, already. And they're in the crunchiest fucking school where there's basically no tude. It's, like, natural.
Right.
It literally
of
is
course.
Natural.
Yeah,
now,
it's chemical.
Do you guys have, do they have emails or phones?
Well, don't even ask me.
My son has a phone, but it's only for answering after school because he goes to a big school, and we got to find him and pull him out of there before shit gets bad. But no, but I was going to say, though, about the parenting thing. See, my dad and Mike's dad kind of knew each other in the Bronx growing up.
Totally coincidental.
And my dad, they didn't have money. Mike's dad shoveled fucking coal into the furnace. He was the superintendent of a building, right?
Little did you know that one day he would have money and his son wouldn't have any of it. Right.
Well, and my father, same thing, grew up with no money. My mom grew up with no fucking money. So then my dad got into radio, was very successful. And so all of a sudden, you know, as we got older, he started having money, and it was like, we're sending him to a fucking private school. But then when I started going, I tell him about Ashley and Randy Van Cleet, and he would like, he would laugh, but he also felt inferior. Like, they would come to the school, and he'd get fucking pissed if he was treated. He always felt like they were looking down on him. So, like, we didn't belong there. You know, the Rye Country Day really is... As private schools go, it's an amazing school. It really is. They're fucking great teachers. A lot of them were
Jesuits.
Monks.
Yeah.
Were Jesuits or monks. And very, you know, I can't say enough good things about it. But it's in Rye, New York. And it was a world that my dad resented as he pushed me into it. So it was a very mixed, it was a mixed thing for me.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I mean, I had a... similar. Now, I think just by the time I was there, a lot of Jews there. So I, but yet even the Jews, like the WASP, like the looming WASPiness was still there. So even the Jews were like, no, I wear a Patagonia vest. Like, I'm basically a WASP. And you're like, no, you're not. Look at your no angled face.
No, it's in. It's intense. No lips, no angles, and kids that drove to school in BMWs and Jaguars, and the breeding. And so it was like, you know, we had, there were a lot of Jews when I was at Rye Country Day, but it really was. They had as much money and whatever, but there was some, maybe they didn't have as much money. I mean, this
Barbara Bush went to Rye Country Day.
And when, so, I interviewed there, their big thing was the guy from the Blue Lagoon.
Yeah. Christopher Atkins went there.
Yeah, they had pictures of him all up, all over the school.
His name was originally Bowman. His brother Sean was a year ahead of me. And he, that poor kid, man, he got eaten up. He did Blue Lagoon. He had an agent or a manager that got him into drugs, and he fucking, it was all over.
That might be my pocket right there.
Who else went to Rye Country Day?
Oh, I can't remember. There's a couple of, like, famous-y people that, I mean, what's crazy now is that theoretically, like, someone's like, you know, Greg Fitzsimmons and Nick Kroll went to Rye Country. It's crazy.
Oh, you mean kids now?
Yeah.
Yeah, they, like, want nothing to do with me because I wrote a book 2 years ago, and it was a collection of letters that my mother had been sent when I was in trouble my whole life. And so there's a lot of Rye Country Day ones in there. And somehow, I have no idea how, they gave me clearance to print them. But then there was never an invitation like, hey, want to do a book reading at the school? I think they were probably not.
Well, I got in trouble. So I gave the graduation speech at my school.
You did?
Not because I was valedictorian, because I was voted, because my, I think everyone was like, oh, he'll be funny, right?
Okay.
And so I was like, all right, cool. And, but I was such a, at that point I was like, I had gotten really into jazz, and I wanted to talk about how jazz was a metaphor for life. So that, like,
the kids didn't know that when they voted.
Boy,
yeah.
No, they did not know. They did not know what bullshit was coming. But then also we had had like a weird year with like a couple of like, you know, disciplinary issues with kids and like just bad. And I vocalized that. I was like, if we're as a community, we need to like have better communication between the administration, the teachers and the students. I kind of and they were not pleased that I had sort of spoken out about it. But it's pretty harmless. But then on my Wikipedia page, at some point it got added in, like Nick Kroll gave a contentious speech at his graduation, and then someone added to that by exposing his genitals. So for like a couple of years, any interview I did was like, because every radio, every time you do radio, they just, they breeze through your Wikipedia, and they're like, and done. And they were like, so you took out your balls at your high school graduation? And I was like... No, but then I kind of want to just perpetuate.
Yeah,
that.
No, that's great.
I got to get back on it.
No, the best thing is I have a reputation for having a big penis.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And again, by saying it, just keep it out there. But it happened because I've made love to several comedians.
Congratulations.
And they talk amongst themselves. And so Wanda Sykes was talking to somebody, and so then it got to Colin Quinn, and then I was on Tough Crowd one time, and we're backstage, and he's like, so Fitzsimmons, I hear you got a big package there, huh?
Yeah.
And he wanted to see it, and so I've never had a problem with this. I whip it out, and you got to say whip it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
And there was a number of people in the room that saw it, and they he gave me the thumbs up, and then I think he brought it up on Howard Stern, and I was fucking gold. And now I'm big dick guy.
Do you have a
big
dick?
Do you want to see it?
No,
I
don't.
Wife.
But do you have a big dick? You do.
I do.
Yeah. If you're, I mean, that's, there's no poker. That's just like, yeah, I got a full house.
Yeah.
Like, you want to see it?
It's a problem. And when I was younger, it was a problem. There were girls that couldn't handle it.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for you.
I know. It was very difficult. I mean, Rye Country Day was hard, and then the big dick thing was hard. It's been.
Now, is your dick really big, or is it in proportion to your, like, not huge frame?
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, I would say on my frame, really, any dick would seem big. I have a very small frame. But no, this is inordinately large for even a human.
When did you realize you had a big dick?
I think peeing when I was probably like 6 or 7. Uh-huh. I remember seeing other kids, you know, you show each other
your dicks, and I remember
like how little everybody's dick was.
Oh my God.
Yeah, how's your dick?
It's totally average.
Really?
It's completely average. And it's a real bummer to me.
Is it have any characteristics that women would remember?
It's got a birthmark of Bill Clinton on it.
That's not a birthmark. You put that on there.
I tattooed as a bit. But I got the brown. I got it just right. And it's slightly raised. I had it burned just a little bit so it would scar raised for that bit.
On the top of the shaft? You see, if you put it on the top of the shaft, then anybody can see it.
Yeah, no,
but if you put it on
no.
the underside, you got to tell a girl, you got to earn it. It's got to be up to see it.
It's true, though.
You really want to see it?
Do you really want to see it? You really want to see my birthmark that looks like Bill Clinton? Right in the place where... Is that right? Didn't Lewinsky say that he had a... That's fucking...
Did he have a mark?
Distinguishing characteristic.
Right.
Oh, no shit.
That was the whole thing.
I didn't remember that detail.
I mean... Bill Clinton blew it. Like, fucking blew it. Like, he was running this country at the economically the best time in history. There was nothing going on internationally. He had free reign to
control
the House and the Senate to fucking run the world. And he couldn't control himself.
No.
He had to fuck an intern.
Well, slow down there, Johnny Vegas. Every president's fucked around.
Yes.
This is the new world where women talk about it. That's all that happened.
Sure, but Jennifer Flowers happened before he got in office. Yep. So he could have been like, all right, okay. Like, Jennifer Flowers was like, before the election, and it was like, okay, all right, I just got to keep my dick in my pants for 8 years. I know it's not easy, but I'm saying, like, everybody keeps their dick in their pants most of the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and, premise.
Right. I'm not even trying
to
do
it. Are you with me so far?
Do you know what I'm saying?
Ladies.
And I would even say, like, men are, like, faithful. You know, there's a lot of talk, like, oh, man, I fuck around, blah, blah, blah. Like, but I think men are, like, people are faithful for the most part. I think he had the chance, and they were like, we're watching you. And he's like, okay. And then he just.
But that's what gave him the erection. It's not about stopping or starting. It's about doing it at a higher level. Think about it. You're president. Now, mm-hmm. Kennedy. I read books about Kennedy.
It's like alcohol.
If anything, it gets more intense because you start to feel. What's the word when you can't be defeated?
Invincible.
Invincible.
Mm-hmm.
You know? He feels invincibly horny. And so getting off on, who was it? Johnson, who used to, like, take a shit.
Yeah.
And have meetings
while
with, like, world
shits.
Leaders and
yeah.
take a shit.
Yeah.
You know?
I didn't know about that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, you know, and all these guys, they had fucking mistresses. Bush Sr. apparently had a woman living in the fucking White House.
Oh, I thought it was a nearby apartment, yeah.
Well, whatever. I mean, these guys all cheated. It's just Monica, you know, was a fucking loudmouth about it.
But that's, I guess I'm just like, and I get, I mean, I understand it, but I'm like, shame on you. Not because you, whatever, just like, shame on you. You had, if you were a truly great man... Because, like, Kennedy is a different set of rules.
Obama would never do this.
That's what I'm saying.
This.
Obama is not cheating
Obama
on Michelle.
Obama doesn't get the respect he deserves. He really doesn't. I mean, if you take two giant steps back, step back, first of all, far enough to see he's black.
Yeah.
And then step back far enough to say he's not cheating. Then step back far enough to say he's not screaming that he's black and he's not cheating.
Yeah.
He is acting as if he is cheating. And, like, he's at a whole other fucking standard.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he at some point was like, I want to be president. Okay. Few things I got to deal with. One, I did coke. I'm going to tell everyone I did coke. Done, right? It's over.
Yeah.
So smart, right? Then he's like, I'm a black man in politics. They're going to be looking for the pussy I am running after constantly.
Yeah.
I believe in America and my presidency more than getting my D wet. I'm done. Or I'm never going to. I love my wife. Whatever it is, it was like, and he did it. He controlled it.
You know what he didn't control? Playing basketball. And I literally, the first election, I was like, can you just keep that on the fucking DL?
Yeah, if he can not cheat, can he not just put on basketball shoes?
Just grab a tennis racket or fucking anything. Soccer ball.
Golf.
Soccer. Anything. And he did. I'm like, you fucking don't give them this. Don't give them this.
I mean, the thing is, it's a sport is a sport. Because
he
black?
Needed to prove he was black by playing basketball.
Maybe a little. You might be right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, he's so white in so many ways that he needed to at least hoop.
And dance a little bit.
But his dancing's kind of lame. And here's the secret to why it's like he's still kind of white. He's a lefty.
Oh, I know. That's so white.
He has the definitely lefty left hook.
He's got a little, it's like I feel like being a lefty is so white.
He's actually the exact,
that's funny.
He's the exact right amount of black.
He's
lefty, but he can,
have enough money to be a lefty. I think you do.
I can spot a lefty, by the way. I can always spot a lefty.
Really?
Yeah.
Slopier shoulders.
Yep.
I'm telling you.
I buy that.
I can fucking spot a lefty.
My son's a pure lefty.
And has he got little Don Mattingly slopey shoulders?
A little bit slopey shouldered, yeah. I tried to get him to caddy, and he couldn't keep the bags on.
No, he's slipping right off the
right
side.
Falling
right off. Sophie, I have a lefty, and
All right, let's get back on track.
Okay.
Nick Kroll, I have not, Jesus Christ, we're this far into the podcast, I have not given you credits.
Okay.
I mean, look, not everybody knows you, no offense.
What do you mean? Entertainment Weekly, it was like a two-page spread.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Tell me about it. I didn't see it.
I haven't seen it. I've seen a picture of it. I got to get it.
How long ago was it?
This past week.
No, it wasn't. I read this past week.
It was this past week.
Nope.
It's the insert. It's the ad on the inside. I haven't seen it yet.
No, I saw Jeff Rossberg in my office and goes, we got nothing.
Oh, really?
That's funny. Yeah. That's funny.
I was just looking for Louis C.K. I'm like, where is he? It's all the lists. And of course, Louis's on three fucking lists.
I didn't read the article, but I saw that. Because they're trying to pump that night, right? Wednesday night?
Workaholics and MSH,
Awesome. Workaholics is on January 16th at 10:30, which is a show that Nick Kroll is on.
No, close. Sorry.
Oh, you're appearing on it.
No, my show.
Oh, yours is after it.
My show's at 10:30. Yeah, Workaholics is at 10, and then Kroll show's on at 10:30.
Hmm.
Sorry for.
And it's available.
I have to correct you, right?
You can watch it now.
Well, I would imagine that you would be able to watch it.
Yeah.
The League has been picked up for its fifth season.
Yes.
Are you going to be on it again?
Yes, I assume.
Haven't heard. Have you read Entertainment Weekly this week? There's some news on that.
Is there?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Not good.
Am I out? Did I get cut?
You're cut, and did you do a half hour special?
I did an hour.
Oh, they're taking it off.
Shit. It's now a half hour.
they turned my hour special into half hour?
Don't worry, they cut the good stuff. It's fine.
Fuck.
Now, You and Jenny Slate play two PR girls in one sketch, publicity.
Yes.
Very fun.
Tell us about it. I hear it's people are already talking about it.
We are two publicists named Liz, and we have a reality show called Publicity. And I don't know if you guys know Jenny Slate at all, is electrically funny. Electrically funny. And so I'm in drag. She's Pretty Liz, and I'm Liz, and I'm just a beast. And the show is like, it's a sort of the, you know,
is this based on that Fariz character?
No, this is based sort of on,
cause you were in drag for that as well.
No, he's just sort of gay ish. We had for the original pilot, we had Publicity and Fabrice in the original pilot. And they tested it in Vegas, and they were like, we need a little more masculinity for our audience.
Yeah.
Comedy Central's terrified of that.
But they were, by the way, they're not wrong. You know, they were not wrong, but Publicity ended up being a very strong, I think, funny piece. And so it's a umbrella for all the reality shows, Real Housewives, Kardashians, all that shit. But then it spins off. So in the first episode, Jenny takes her dog to get her dog red carpet ready because we're throwing a benefit for Cupcakes for Canine Cancer. And Mitch Hurwitz actually plays the guy who's trying to get his the guy who created Arrested Development. Very funny straight man, by the way.
Yeah,
yeah, really funny. So she takes her dog to get it red carpet ready. She takes it to this guy, Dr. Armand, who I also play. And Dr. Armand is the best animal plastic surgeon in California.
Nice.
And then in the second episode, and throughout the rest of the series, every episode spins off basically into a new reality show. So Dr. Armand then has his reality show called Armand of the House.
Wow.
And in that, Andy Milonakis plays his son Roman, like a spoiled fucking kid named Roman.
So just to sort of track this, does that get complicated if you think about the show going 3-4 seasons?
In a way, I think it gives it so many more legs, because Armand of the House, then Armand gets divorced and it becomes Armand About Town, and he's living in the Sportsman's Lodge. And then because Roman is now home alone without his dad, he gets his own spinoff called Roman's Empire. Then in Roman's Empire, you meet Roman's bad influence best friend, who I also play, called Caesar. Caesar gets his own spinoff called Caesar's.
Here we go. I like it.
Yeah, and Caesar's Palace.
So the stuff that's working, you can push further. And yeah, if the sketch that isn't, then you
yeah, it
you
just
don't,
goes away.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it.
I like the way you think.
Thank you.
You must have had a good education.
It was my Jewish day school.
Here's where it started. VH1, best week ever.
On tour.
It. Did we ever do a tour
date? Yeah, that's when we found out about that. We did Wash U or another school down there, and we realized that we'd gone to Record Show.
Oh, that's right. The best week ever, which I think we were both on pretty much the whole time, right?
I came in a little later on, but then I was on for a while.
And it was every week we would get... Here's the best part about best week ever, which it... I don't even know how to describe that experience. It was so weird because you never got hired. You never got a contract. You literally got a phone call. And I was on it for 5 fucking years. You would get a phone call on like Thursday or Friday saying, do you want to come in and do the show next week on Tuesday, which you do every week at 2:20?
Yeah.
And you'd say, okay. And then they'd send you the material the day before, which you wouldn't read. And then you'd go in and you'd improvise you had written material.
Yeah.
And it went on like that year after year without, a pay raise or
nothing.
A contract
nothing.
Or a credit. It was just like this thing we just kept doing.
It's crazy to think about it now. And I came into that later because I had done... I remember seeing like I Love the 80s that was a huge career, but like for Michael Black and
I did
Hal
those.
Sparks and like
I was the only one that never got traction from it. I literally do you know how many people blew up from I Love the 80s and I got best week ever out of it.
And I tried to get in there and I just needed credits. Like I needed to be on, I just wanted to be on TV. I wanted to prove to those waspy kids in high school that I had done something. And so I started doing like awesomely bad metal songs and Beach Bodies and best songs of 2004, like whatever it was. I was like, I'll go talk for free. And those didn't pay at all. Like those, you didn't get a cent for that. And then I got called up to I wouldn't call it the big leagues. I called Triple A ball to do best week ever. And it was huge. And then they started paying, and we'd get like $500 or something like that.
Yeah, and it was not, it was non-union. It was non-union, right?
Non-union.
Oh, yeah, it was almost like paid in cash behind in the parking lot when you were done.
Yeah.
It was so like, it felt like a high school play every week.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden, people start recognizing you from it, and it becomes like this real, and then all of a sudden, it got kind of culty where... people really loved the show, or they dismissed it entirely, which I completely understand.
Sure.
It was real junk food, but it was, if you're watching a little bit of TV.
Yeah.
And then you fell in with a group of guys then that you're still very tight with.
Yeah.
Like Rob Hubel.
Hubel and Shear.
And Shear.
Yeah.
And that's like a really cool thing
where
you guys have like pulled each other into a lot of different projects.
Yeah. Well, I think that came more from UCB, the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. So that was like that. And then we ended up on that show. So, but those guys, and we all, we talked about this at some point off, but just like.
At UCB.
Stand-ups, stand-ups versus improv sketch guys. And I sort of have straddled both worlds, but like the inherently stand-ups are kind of lone wolves in to some regard. And then the sketch guys are inherently collaborators. And so when they get a show or something, and still, I mean, I look at all, you know, tough crowd or whatever. I mean, there's still crews of guys that whatever it is. But inherently, that UCB sketch improv world, I think, was more naturally collaborative.
Yes. And people that you trust to work with. And
yes.
It's a
and
team.
And are personally friends.
Yes.
I
yeah.
mean, you know, you were saying, who is it that you talk to on the phone all the time?
Oh, Attell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I talk to him constantly. And, you know, there's been a lot of comics I'm really close to, but not as a group and not in person. Much more like phone relationships.
See, I don't have a phone relationship with anybody. Nobody.
But when you see them.
We get into it.
Yeah.
I'll go on like a hike with like Jason Mantzoukas.
I think you invited me to a steam room once with all those guys.
Voda spa?
Yeah, that was the weirdest fucking invitation.
I was hoping you made that up.
No.
No, we wanted to see that big fucking...
fucking you should see it. Bring your boy.
Yeah, that
you
fucking
should see it.
Fucking see the three iron.
You should see it when I steam it.
Oh, because it relaxes.
It's really long.
Wriggles come out.
It's really long.
All the wriggles come out of it. It's like getting a shirt that you want to wear, putting it in the bathroom while you shower.
Right. That's right.
You
know,
God.
It's amazing when it's steamed. But what was that? Why do you do that?
Because, well, we used
it's
to
like
do it
like your
birthday
party or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it was. We used to do it in New York. Do you ever go to the Russian Baths in New York? Do you ever go to...
I've heard
Street?
Of them, yeah.
Yeah, yep. On 10th Street. So it's that. I mean, it's like you get a... It's like, I mean, it's like hanging out at a pool. Everybody's in bathing suits. Somebody's naked. And you fucking go to this place in L.A. that's like owned by the Russians, quote unquote. And you go in and you schwitz it out. You fucking go take a steam and hang out and then drink like, healthy green drinks and then go sweat and then jump in a like cold pool. And
naked? Like everybody's naked?
No, everybody's in bathing suits. Co-ed.
Oh, it's co-ed.
Yeah, it's co-ed.
See, this is what threw me is like you talk about comics not hanging out. Like I got that invite mm-hmm. to go to that. Mm-hmm. And that's immediately where I go like, yeah, I'm not hanging out with this guy anymore. You know, it was over as far as I was concerned.
You know what? Probably not a bad call. Because I got covered in fucking semen that day. I just looked like Casper. Do you know what I mean? I was, well, Slimer. More like Slimer.
You ever get semen on your legs from jerking off in the shower and it gobs up and it's hard to get off?
It balls up. I don't like jerking off in the shower. I don't like standing and jerking off.
I don't mind it once in a while.
Well, you're married. Like, I'm a single man.
No, it's just hard to fit it in the shower with me.
Why is there water? Why is there always water on the bath mat? Well, sweetheart.
It runs along my gutter.
I'm calling her sweetheart. Like I'm going to get out of it.
Sweetheart, come here. Let me explain to you the physics of this, okay?
Oh, fuck. You know, Eric, our friend Eric sent me, he sends me videos that you have to watch it and then you can't unwatch it kind of videos.
Dirty stuff.
And there was a woman, put her arm inside her arm.
Did
you see this?
No.
To the shoulder.
I just see the drawing.
I mean, she was a small, she was Asian. The woman whose arm, the Asian woman put her arm in.
In herself.
No. In her friend.
Okay.
I assume it was a friend.
Okay.
And she put the arm all the way through. And then the chick who's got an arm in her now, she goes, now push up. And the woman pushes up, and it pushed up from above her belly button, and she was pushing, so it looked like she was pregnant.
Then they did Jeff Dunham's act, and it destroyed.
12 million views.
Can you believe that?
That is crazy to me. What is the URL?
You know what? I should put, I don't know if I could put porn up on my site. I'll put a link to it on my site.
You can make any adult bad decisions you want.
So, but is that still her pussy? Like, what is that? What part of the body is that?
Yeah.
Well, I guess the vagina, here's how ignorant I am. I didn't know until about 4 years ago, that the vagina has two holes.
Right. There's a laugh outside.
I can hear Eliana.
You hear the vagina laughing.
Wait, Eliana, come in here for a second. You don't have to show us. I just want to ask you a question as a woman.
I really don't want to talk about
it. No, come here.
Vagina.
Come here.
It's not your vagina. We're
make sure
yours.
The mic is on.
Not yours.
Here, say test in there.
Test.
Okay. Let me ask you something. If a man put his woman, if a woman put her arm in another woman's vagina and she was pushing at the stomach, where is that in an organ still or is that in a tract of the vagina?
I have no, I mean.
Uterus, I'm going
to
guess uterus.
Up to like the cervix and uterus yeah. area. You need to listen to your friend Mike here. He knows more
you
about
don't
vaginas.
Know this.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you,
I know where babies come from.
You've had two kids. How do you not know more about vaginas?
I didn't know that there was a pee part and a baby part.
You know, my fiance actually said the exact same thing to me just like a month ago.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, don't you just put your tampon in the same hole? I was like, no, how do I pee then? Right?
Have you ever thought separate? About that?
How does it?
What?
Where does it separate?
Have you guys never seen a vagina?
It's like your nasal. Like, there's a whole, there's a flat. There's a...
Right. Well, no, I'm having the same thing about like when you swallow food, like
right.
liquids and solids.
Trachea.
Like, how does that? How is that decided?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And then if you're breathing,
right,
it's got to go somewhere else.
And you can finger all of these.
You don't really want to finger the pee hole. There's not really a
can
way.
You?
You want to finger the throat?
You can touch.
Can you fit a finger in the pee hole?
You can't fit a finger in the pee hole.
It's just like a.
You need to sit your wife down and ask her if you can
like,
take a long.
I don't know if I can sit her down, lay her down.
That would be funny if second base was fingering the woman's throat. Like if you're a really confused team. You finger her, yeah, down, no, just her throat.
Upstairs
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah, we need to add, mouth. We need to add a lot of aces.
Yeah.
You know?
Like a bunt
no.
single.
Well, what about
it's a sacrifice fly. You,
tell
what
the story.
That?
Tell your fingering story.
Oh, this is a Rye Country Day story.
Let's hear it.
This was at the Van family's house.
Mm-hmm.
I
you
was.
You already said their last name unless you had two
no,
vans.
No, I didn't.
Different
all
van.
Right,
different
no,
van.
Different van. Different
yeah.
van. There was many vans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm at this guy's house and I'm high and it's after school. And so he's got a sister. And I hate to say this. I think I was a freshman or a sophomore.
Good
and this was his
good.
Younger sister.
Oh.
So we're like drinking and getting high.
Actually, then it's a better ending to the story. Go ahead.
No, so I go no. so I go off into the other room with her, which was just so sad because like he knew you're on a play date with somebody
yeah.
and the guy disappears oh. with your sister. And I go off into like one of the master bedrooms with fucking you know, Van Gogh's hanging on
you're
the wall.
You're just like this you're like the movie Kids just giving this little girl
oh,
AIDS.
No, that and movie.
I, now let me finish. No. Oh, that movie was brutal. I go to finger her, but mm-hmm. her jeans are on. Like, I'm not even old enough to know to take the
sure,
pants off.
Sure,
I'm just
sure.
like, I'm going to jam my hand on her pants. Because
sure.
usually you do it and they stop you. She didn't stop me. So I go.
She's so broken. She doesn't stop you.
She's so broken.
Couldn't hear through her pacifier.
So no, come on. She's got to be 13. She's got to be 14.
Oh, God.
So I put my finger down and I put it in her. Vagina, and I'm fingering
uh-huh,
her,
uh-huh.
and I'm fingering her, and
you don't have to. It's a podcast; you can stop doing that.
I'm not like even enjoying it. It's just like I've done it. You know, I got to third base, and I'm making out with her way too hard, and then I went back and had a sad play date with my friend, and then I'm leaving.
By the way, there's something so disturbing like fingering and then going the term play date.
Yeah. Yeah,
totally.
The play date was over. Now I'm hanging out
right,
with a guy.
Are you having play dates in high school still?
Well,
that's
I'm just trying bit. To. I'm trying to infantilize this as much as possible.
Okay.
So then I leave.
Mission accomplished.
And I you know, like any pubescent boy does. Let me smell my finger.
Oh.
Well, smells like shit.
Oh.
I fingered her asshole.
Oh my God.
I went past third, rounded third, and went home. And here's there's many sad things about this. Let me just say a couple, then you guys can throw
it's
a couple
so
in. One is I didn't get to third base. Another one is she didn't say anything. She didn't stop me. Not
that's
only,
how broken she was.
So broken,
so
she didn't
sad.
Stop me, and it's entirely possible oh. she didn't realize that's not how it's supposed
oh.
to go.
I think so, guys later in life were fingering her pussy. She's probably like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Don't be kinky. Put it in my
that's
ass.
That's disgusting. You know that's my vagina.
Put it in my vagina. Oh, she doesn't know. Oh, she doesn't know which one's which.
She forget knowing two holes in one pussy. She doesn't know the difference between her yeah. asshole and her vagina.
Totally. I have such trouble orgasming, playing
I
with
think,
myself,
doctor,
fingering my asshole.
Doctor, I think I have a venereal disease. Why is that? Well, there's this brown solid thing coming out of it.
There's discharge about once a day. It's giant.
Especially after coffee. I have this.
Yeah.
She's drinking coffee at 13.
She's telling the doctor, and I cannot get the tampon in. Have you lubed it? I'm putting a whole jar on. I cannot get the tampon.
Here's the other thing is that my belly button is just exuding liquid constantly.
And I haven't grown any pubic hair on it, but my asshole is furry. Oh,
she has no idea.
Oh, and I ran into her. I was in like Aspen. You know, it was another one of these places where I was out of my league, like with rich people.
Oh, God.
And all of a sudden, this girl comes up to me. She's like, Greg. I was like, yeah. She's like, I'm, and she says her name. Mm-hmm. And I immediately froze like, I'm going to be arrested. Like that, all I could remember is that
this is like years later.
Oh, 10?
Okay.
10 years later?
And did she like waddle away from you?
She backed up to me.
I'm on the wall. Never turned around.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. My God.
No, and it was really fucking weird. And I didn't know what to say. Like, I was completely frozen. Like, if you were to take one person from my past to see if you could freeze me up, that was her. Bad. Yeah. I threw the digit in the back door.
How are you like, hey, you know, Clay.
Is that a girl's name?
No, it's his name.
Oh.
You know, whatever. But it could be a girl's. So that's the thing with the WASP names is you never know. It's like, hey, Regan.
Yeah.
You're like, I don't know what you are. So, but you're like, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go fucking Irish up. I'm going to go middle class up your sister there for a minute.
Like, he hasn't done enough for me. He got me high, fed me steak, let me ride his little motorcycle, and now I'm fingering his sister's asshole.
I mean, that's the great, is like there was a part of this guy that was envious of you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jeez. You felt outclassed, and you were just consuming all of his wealth.
That's right.
And then you threw a didge in his fucking sister's bung.
Clay, you mind if I finger this example?
I'm gonna need another hit for this one.
Clay, guess what I just did?
Clay, you're not gonna believe this. Your fucking sister's pussy smells like shit.
And he apologizes.
You should get that checked out.
Dude,
seriously.
Tell your sister, get your fucking house in order. And honestly, a filet? What about a New York strip? Jesus, what are we doing here?
And what's with the albino maid? I got standards.
Okay. Tell her to put the bandana back on.
Tell her to make some pancakes before she gets fired.
Also, I stole your dad's cigar cutter.
Can podcast get Peabody's? Can you submit this?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't make any lists. You know that? This show made no lists.
Does that hurt you?
I don't know how many lists there were, but I noticed one list. And
the
I wasn't
lists
on
are
it.
Tough.
Top
but you
10.
You were on a list.
Was I?
Yeah, there was top podcast something.
If you look at lists though and you figure out who wrote those lists, then it's less disconcerting.
It's one person. Yeah. Like, you think it's like the collective listenership of America, and it's one fucking dude. Yeah. I did win an award.
Congrats.
Corolla did his own awards, and I won one of the awards.
Yeah.
On that. It was the most uncomfortable moment. He tried to get me to drink on his show, and I was genuinely, I was genuinely like upset by it, and he kept pushing it.
People quoted it for like, I mean, they still quote it now. That Mangria.
It was good radio.
Yeah,
it was good radio.
Were you? Did he spring that on you?
Yeah, he's got this Mangria. He makes a sangria with, I don't know what he does, but he's branding it. He's selling it like fucking crazy. So they're drinking it in the studio, and I come in, and the bit is they drink it with the guests. And I say, well, I quit drinking. And he goes, don't be a pussy. And he keeps, you know, offering it to me. And I go, well, I don't know, Adam. Yeah, why don't you hand it to me? Why don't I have a sip? And then you can explain to my wife. Say things go horribly wrong. My wife will come to you. You tell her why her husband doesn't fucking work. And I mean, I was laying it on.
Sure, sure.
But it was coming from like a place of like, I'm sick of people trying to get me to drink.
People are very uncomfortable when people don't drink.
And then he came back at me twice as hard. And then so it was fun. It was really.
See, that's a real stand up. That's some real stand up shit.
Yeah.
Like, that is not the sketch improv world is a much more lovey-dovey, supportive kind of thing.
Yeah.
which at times I think means you don't have moments like that.
This is podcast world, though. This isn't stand-up, or this is two stand-up titans.
No, but the nature.
Fucking Ali Frazier. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, this is two guys who do shows out of their basements going fucking toe-to-toe.
Ugh, but it's a but there's just a fascinating element to
over
it.
Over Mangria.
Over Mangria. Which is a very efficient pun for branding. A great piece of branding.
Yeah, it totally is.
I can't, by the way, if I'm doing his podcast at some point, I can't drink sangria. I used to drink it, and I got so fucked up drinking sangria that I'm so hungry I can't drink it.
It seems like you're putting vomit into the wine.
I know. Oh. Well, it's just like sweet. It's sweet death.
Yeah.
Oof. No, but it's so nice because you eat the fruit that's been in it, and then the fruit tastes like alcohol after you're done. It's like a nice little
eat
treat.
Eat my fruit and my alcohol separately.
We need some branding,
right?
Yeah, we're gonna sell. We're selling Fitz. What's this show called? Fitz Dog Radio caps and mugs. Now, literally, Ileana, how many do we sell over Christmas?
Zero.
Which leads me to believe at $6.99 that you don't want them. Or there's a glitch with the store, the merch store, which I think it might be. I hope so.
You should write personalized messages on them, and that might...
No, I'm not going to do that.
Sell them off.
Buy a cup or a hat just to prove to me that the store works.
What kind of hat is it?
It's a Fitz Dog Radio hat. It's a very nice baseball cap.
It's a baseball cap.
Yeah.
You got a mesh. Is it fitted? What are we working with here?
It's got the plastic thing that you pop to.
It's got the metal part.
Oh, it's got the metal.
It's a nice one. It's a nice cap.
It's a nice cap.
Where's the metal on it?
It's in the back where you can adjust the strap part, you know?
Mm-hmm. I usually bring a cap and a mug for the guests because I appreciate coming in and because I can't move them. And so I'm asking you to buy them as an experiment to see if the store fucking works.
All right, you know what?
All his guests have to buy it.
I'll buy it. I'll buy it online right now.
There's a special.
Where do I go?
Go to...
Fitz Dog Radio.
VanAss.com.
I go to Adolescent Wasp Taint.
Oh. God. And I didn't wash my hands because
Proof.
Here's the thing
proof.
I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't know right away what I had done because I didn't know smelled like.
Sure,
I thought pussy smelled like shit.
Yeah.
I did.
I remember the first time I saw porn, the first time I saw sex, and I was like, I thought the vagina was like on the top. Like, I didn't realize that it went underneath.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And that was a real eye-opener for me.
Wait, watching as much porn as you guys do, how do you still have questions about vaginas? I feel like you should know them by seeing them so often.
I open my laptop for about 3 minutes.
And only watches anal.
Yeah. No, I don't like, I'm not a big, I don't know.
I've just never seen any women in it. Where do you find that?
I do. There is a. I don't know what exactly I'm getting at with this, but I was just away in Peru and Bolivia for Christmas, New Year's.
It's two words, Peru and Bolivia.
Peru and Bolivia. And I saw an alpaca, and they're beautiful. They're like little llamas. And I kind of think I would fuck an alpaca.
Yeah. I could see that.
They're beautiful.
But do they want to get fucked?
Well, this Norm MacDonald will talk to you for 2 hours about it. The answer is yes.
Does he have the same philosophy as I do, which is where's the victim?
Yes, he does.
Yeah. If the animal, like my dog, when I pet him, he tries to put his dick in my hand. Like he rolls over and he tries to put his dick in my hand.
Right.
And I always think, like, I'm petting him anyway. I would have no problem with this.
Right.
But it's illegal.
Right.
Yet he wants me to do it. So where's the crime?
I'm sure fingering his asshole is probably legal.
I touched my dog's dick, and my friend Evan in high school, who I'm still friends with from elementary school, always reminds me that I did one time touch my dog's dick.
Tosh touches his. He rubs it on air. I mean, he did it all the time, but he'll do it on. He's done it on air.
Seriously?
Comedy Central. Oh yeah, he would always sit at the writer's table and then just rub his dog's dick. Like, it's kind of a thing he does. And then he did it on air. And more, the reason I mention is. Unblurred, whatever. Comedy Central just had.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God! Gross.
To lipstick or like what? Like.
It didn't know. They didn't let it go that far, but.
They didn't.
To lipstick.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. At first, I was like, "What song is that?" Like, he has his dog junk song.
It's a lipstick! Wait, so honestly, if the llama wanted it, you're alone.
Alpaca.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Just to be clear.
I'm sorry.
Let's be totally clear.
To everybody that's listening, my sincere... Yeah. All right. If it backs up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have an erection for whatever reason, not because of the alpaca.
Sure.
Do you put it in? If it wants, it wants it. It's legal in Peru, Bolivia.
I mean, I need to know that it really wants it. I don't want to get in anywhere where I'm not supposed to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, if she's turning her eyes and she's making eye contact.
Who said she?
You know, my fantasy, it's a lady.
Okay.
It's a beautiful lady alpaca. Because I find the features of a male alpaca a little harder.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a softer feature on an alpaca. So if she turns around and gives me the eye, like, you know when you get the eyes. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, let's do this.
Maybe she takes the sweater off?
Yeah.
Then you're in.
Ugh, and then she takes the sweater off and I don't like the
this
body.
Is nice.
Oh, God.
I'm like, you know what?
I'm not nice. Fucking a Great Dane.
Is this alpaca?
Yeah.
God.
You look like a fucking llama. No, thank you.
All right, we got to go. Thanks.
Kroll Show.
Kroll Show is on at 10:30s on Comedy Central.
January 16th on Workaholics.
January 16th.
Yeah, and every Wednesday after that.
So
for 8 weeks.
And then also, I'd be remiss in not saying nickkroll.com is where you get all information about Nick Kroll.
It's true.
Nick Kroll, at Nick Kroll, you nailed that.
Got it all.
January 13th, the Up Theater in Chicago, Illinois.
Yes.
I'm going to be there a few weeks later.
Really?
What great day? Room.
I'm excited for it.
It's a great room.
And I'll be doing the
Cobbs Comedy Club San Francisco, January 26th.
Yes, and Largo on the 19th.
In Los Angeles.
In LA, yeah.
January 19th?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's a nice number of opportunities for the young ladies to come out. Single?
Yeah.
God damn it.
Any alpacas out there?
Unbelievable.
Alpacas getting free.
Alpacas getting free. Mike Gibbons, thank you for being here. Anything to plug?
As long as I get in free, alpacas getting free too.
Watch The Burn, I guess, on Tuesday nights. Tomorrow night is the premiere.
On Comedy Central.
Well, it's not tomorrow night. When is this going to air?
Just say Tuesday nights, The Burn.
Tuesday nights, The Burn with Jeff Ross.
Also, don't forget, I didn't say my dates, did I? All right, here's some dates for me, everybody. Listen up, because this is serious shit. I'm going to be hitting it hard this winter. January 16th through 20th, Lake Tahoe. The 24th, Marco Island, Florida. The 31st of January, Dallas, Texas. February 8th through 10th, Tampa. February 28th through March 2nd, Comics in Connecticut. Oh, March 8th and 9th, Up Comedy Club in Chicago. Also dates coming up in Hollywood, Cleveland, Boston, Austin, Texas. Go to fitzdog.com for details. Follow me at Greg Fitz Show on Twitter. Ileana Horechko, anything for you to promote your podcast?
Two holes. In
Come on, Mike, stop. It's Ileana.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about my holes. I have a podcast, megaboomradio.com. You can listen to that. Follow me on Twitter. I give good nooch.
What does that mean, by the way? I don't like that.
I
think of you, my sweet, innocent producer. I give good nooch. What does that mean?
I don't actually give anything. Nooch was like a nickname because it's Ilyanuchka, and then it shortened to nooch in college, and it sounded like a funny thing because everybody told me my name was impossible to spell and they could never find me on Twitter, so I had to change it. I don't have an easy thing like Nick Kroll. I can't do that.
Oh,
can't
I thought it was
Greg
like you
Fitz
had
show.
Like a nutrition advice thing. Like you
I thought, it was, yeah, I thought it was something on
advice.
News.
I thought it was I give good gnocchi.
Gnocchi. Well,
and
that's
your
close.
Twitter handles.
That's
I
close.
Give good nooch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All right.
You want to shorten that?
To cooch.
Yeah.
I give good cooch.
It's not shorter. Turns out it's not shorter.
No, it's about the same. It's exactly the same. In fact, same.
Thanks for listening.
I was actually talking about
God bless America.
I was talking about Greg's dick. You want to shorten that?
Thank you.